guests or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga, our second day of summer and our third to last show of our season. As everybody knows, I work security at the track and the show's not on during the summer. And this year, unfortunately, it opens up like 2 weeks earlier, so we lose two weeks of shows. But I just wanted to let you know that thank you for putting up with us. The past month and a half or so, we've been introducing you to our candidates that are running for election in November. And we'll do it again in October, and hopefully we can double up and get both of them in the room at once so you can hear the different things that they want to do. First of all, our guest today, Kendall Hicks, had called in and said that he couldn't make it and he wanted to reschedule, and I told him he had to do it in the fall. But I want to open the show with where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, a.k.a. Jackie Prodrick? The last time we knew, she was in the south of France and on the move, so stay with us next week and we may be able to find her. So, Jackie, I hope you and the baby are doing fine. Our guest host and Saratoga All-Star this morning is Pat Kane.
Hey, morning. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Pat, you know, we were kind of caught short on Kendall's not coming in today, but we had something set up to do in the future, and I think we'll do it now. We want to talk about the upcoming Democratic primary, which is this coming Tuesday, the 25th of June. The polls are open from 12 noon till 9 at night. The candidates are Patty Morrison, who is the new person, and she's running against the incumbent, Michelle Madigan. And, you know, our discussions over the past month and a half, 2 months, is I think it's time for a change, don't you, Pat?
I do.
And, you know, I'm a believer in term limits. And one of the things, Madigan's been in there, I think, for 10 years now.
Eight
years. She's going for her 10th term. The completion of her 10th term vests her in the city insurance plan for life. Which
say that? I'm not sure if I understand what you mean.
She is vested in the city's health insurance plan for life after 10 years. And
okay.
So that's a potential. She's not an old lady by any means. Maybe a little long in the tooth, but not that old. So it could potentially cost the city $1 million over the time of her lifespan. For someone who works part-time for the city as a part-time commissioner to get health care benefits, full health care benefits for the rest of her life. So I just want people to think about that.
So I'm sorry, maybe it's early morning. So
okay, it's early morning.
So we know that today a health care plan is north of $25,000.
Correct.
So you're saying, I don't know how old she is, maybe she's 50?
She could be 50.
Whatever, I don't know her age. But you're right, living another 30 years, is maybe 40 years, is very realistic.
Sure.
And as you could imagine, over the next 40 years, that $25,000 is not going to stay the same.
Oh, exactly.
So that's where you get your $1 million?
Yeah, every year it goes up at
so
a certain
probably
percentage.
Probably more than a million, now
more
that I think
than
about
a million.
It. I mean, again, if she's younger than 50, I don't know. But I mean,
right. Imagine
if she's younger than 50 and lives 40 years at average of $40,000.
That's right.
You know, so you're
looking at
you
some
do the
good
math,
money.
Like $1.6 million.
Sure. And I don't think, I've spoken to a lot of people, and they feel that for a part-time position, and I know there's more work than a part-time position, but it is a part-time position. They have a paid deputy commissioner who does 90% of the work as far as hands-on, and in this city, the commissioner runs the department and also legislates. So, people are concerned about that. People are also concerned. I've had a lot of people talk about the way she talks to people at a council meeting. And I first of all, Pat, before we get in discussions, I want to play a clip.
Okay.
All right, so Jimmy, could you play clip number 72?
Stepping out of her lane, as always. This is the problem that she has, is that she feels that, she controls the dialogue, she controls the tempo, she controls the
room. So we'll try this. And, Pat, you were talking again about, being...
Her conduct is deplorable.
It is.
It's deplorable.
It is unbelievable.
The audience. Either you tell them to shut up or have them removed.
Okay, so that was one of them.
I think you can.
The money is not in the 2016 budget. I will be very clear on that. It is not there.
Facebook.
Then it would have been a bad budget if we didn't have some type of reserve amount for contracts somewhere. I didn't say it was a line item, but it was clearly or should have been somewhere in the budget in and of itself.
But it's her in action. The sad part about
tell
it is,
me you had
here's
numbers figured out
an elected official,
a
grown woman,
what was going
being
to
not only
for
disrespectful
this.
To the to people,
probably
let alone,
be cuts across the board in the 2016
in
budget as a result of this. There may be a tax increase as a result of this.
If this was a one-time
that does not mean I have not planned for it, Commissioner Frank. No, it doesn't work that way. And frankly, I wish you would just be quiet.
And literally, scold them.
You will be quiet because I'm.
She's acting like a complete lunatic.
Mr. Madigan,
complete lunatic.
Department does. And you may know.
Yeah, it's, there was a, I heard from Robin Dalton, who's a candidate, and who's a candidate for office.
We're good.
Okay, and... she got on last night, and, she wants to be on the phone. Like I said, we'll double her up. But, Michelle was even making comments about Patty Morrison and the letter that is shocking a lot of people that she wrote on It's Time Saratoga and jumped in on a conversation where she basically... went on a tear and called me an idiot and dope, and I put it up on Facebook. But and if you want to listen to those clips, you can do so. And Pat, why don't you tell them where to go?
It's called Saratogians Fighting Back on Facebook, and
okay.
It's a series of examples of her conduct, not only at city council meetings, but it's just sad. It's sad that a city like Saratoga Springs has to have a woman like that represent us
right. And
interact with the public the way she does. It's absolutely absurd that a person like that, people say, oh, she's doing a great job. Watch that and tell me she's doing a great job. Just watch it.
Right.
Tell me she's doing a great job after that. Watch her berate and belittle the mayor, the people around her at this conference, at the city council table, and members of the audience. It's unacceptable. Her behavior is just, it's borderline, I think, psychotic. I watched her posts on the Saratogian last night. She opens up the comments, but I guess I should be the last one to comment on this. I immediately wrote back, you're right. Should be the last person to comment on an article about Patty Morrison because you've got your minions that are out there literally every day.
Slighting her. I mean, she doesn't hold back any vitriol.
Oh.
And I do have to say one thing. I mean, Patty has run a clean campaign. She hasn't said, I don't think, anything negative about the person Madigan. I think Patty brings to the table a set of skills that will make her a fine commissioner of finance. And as we, I hosted a Facebook Live post the other night and interviewed Ms. Morrison. And one of the things that I told her was that, look, even you're a good budget person. You've worked with $25 million budgets. The government budgeting is different. And I said, but you had not so different that, you know, it's a whole new
Michelle
beast.
Madigan walked in the door as a librarian, for Christ's sakes. Come on, let's go. Let's be real.
Well, the thing is, and as I told her and we discussed, you know, there's a learning curve when you get into office. And I don't care how good you are in a field, there's a learning curve. And I say it takes 6 months to learn the department and, you know, how to work with the people within your department. So I said, you know, you just have to remember, Patty, that Madigan had to do the same thing. She didn't walk in day one and pick up and run the city. So
and nobody does. You know, it was helpful to years ago to Matt McCabe, who ran for finance. He ran a guitar store and managed a small business and still does. But Munis, which is the state, you know, a finance system that the city participates in and is a member of, is easy to learn. There's lots of support. But most importantly is 98% of the people in the finance office remain from candidate to candidate to candidate. Christine Gilmet Brown does an amazing job. She's been there 30 years.
Right.
I'm not sure anyone really could walk in the door and be expected to know everything, first of all.
No.
But secondly, most importantly, is got a great staff there. There's, you know, the deputy mayor may stay or not. Who knows?
But she had one of the best when she started. Lynn Bachner was in Matt McCabe's terms, and she was with Michelle, and I give Lynn Bachner a lot of credit for that finance department and the things that it went through in the beginning of Madigan's term. Now, Madigan had her lead. I think she's had like four deputy commissioners in the 8 years that she's been in there. But again, that's why I am for term limits. People should rotate out, get some fresh ideas in there. One of the things that I was talking with a former New York State budget director, Ms. Madigan always says that when we have our bonds are renegotiated or the interest rate is renegotiated down to a lower percent, and she saves the city $3 million of that. Well, he said you don't negotiate with the government about bond rates. Your bond rates are, they look at different things, like your rating. And we're not a AAA, by the way.
No, well, and again, it's we are fed information. We're fed information that is, in my mind, inaccurate and self-promoting. Last night I was on Facebook, and one of Michelle's favorite minions was a woman by the name of Gail LaSalle. And Gail and I were back and forth. Gail's, of course, she's very fond of Michelle, and therefore she's talking about Michelle, the greatness of Michelle. And I just couldn't get the answer that I was looking for from Gail when I kept saying to her, who does the auditing of the city? And of course, you know, Gail said, oh, it's Michelle, and she does a great job. Well, she said she was there when the state came in last. Her reference is the state of New York comes in and does what's called an external audit. As does a CPA firm once a year do an external audit.
Wait a minute.
I kept asking, who does the internal audit? Because in this form of government, who does the internal audit is probably the most complex thing as possible. So, for example, in this case, in 2020, 2021, you might see the state of New York show up and do an audit, maybe, and it may not audit the entire city. So under this current form of government, the commissioner is responsible for what's called an internal audit, basically looking at the functionality within the city to say, are we operating in the best way possible? Is there any area that there's, things that go on that are not correct, or are there way things that we can improve on our operation and so forth. But I'll give you an example. And I don't, again, it's probably too, it's not probably, it's definitely the diet, the information I'm about to tell you is revolving around the year 2017. So as an internal audit, her office is responsible to look around the city operation and make sure we're behaving correctly and all so forth. So an internal audit would have caught this, and of course it hasn't caught it any year because there's been no internal audit that I can see that actually calls the, some kind of our some of our points out. In the example that I'm about to give you, 2017, we produced over 1.5 trillion gallons of water. Trillions, right? Mm-hmm. With a T.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our days we've been that day on, for example, on August 4th, 2017, we produced 7,200,000 gallons.
Hmm.
A lot of water, right?
It's a lot of water. It's a lot of water.
Two things that we really are not doing, and I'm sure that Dylan Moran will have a lot to say about this soon enough, but an internal audit would say, okay, so that's great. How much of that are we billing? Do you realize that we bill for under 70% of that water?
Really?
Under 70, that's 486 million gallons we do not know where it went. 486 million gallons of fresh drinking water is lost.
Hmm.
Right?
That's an amazing figure.
Right? So, again, you're looking at a situation where there's probably a good reason. It's a leak. It's somebody who doesn't have a water meter that's collecting water but not paying for it. But that total that I said to you is worth $836,000. $836,000 at the city's rate of 1.72 per thousand gallons. An internal audit would have caught this. Now, we're talking at least 8 years, and I know it's probably never gone on as far as the water is concerned, but that's what an internal audit is supposed to do, is to catch maybe bad things happening as far as people are concerned, but also it's to oversee the operations of the city and make sure that we're working within a reasonable efficiency. So again, 31% of, you know, if you're environmentally conscious, 31% of your water is lost,
right,
in transport between when you produce it never get paid for it. Now, granted, there's things that happen in the city that use water, like a fire hydrant, things like that. But we certainly aren't putting that amount of water out onto the street. What's happening here is there's water meters out there or lack of water meters out there. There's potential leaks. But the problem that I have, Rick, is we're doing nothing about it.
No.
So if you're environmentally, we're sending all that water to God knows where into the ground after we do this. So what a tremendous 31% loss on your any product is foolish.
Well, first of all, I think you have a two-pronged problem here. Number one, the Commissioner of Public Works, Skip Scirocco, isn't paying attention because that's under his purview, the water department. And, like you said, with the internal auditor, being the Commissioner of Finance, isn't doing her job and recognizing the fact that we're losing money. Now, we were at an event Tuesday night, and a person there, he came up and he said, my mother-in-law got her water bill in the mail the other day, and she was billed $32,000. And I said, $32,000? And he said, yeah.
Now we know where all that water's going.
That's right. Yeah. And he said, well, when she picked herself up from the floor, she called the water department, and they said, oh, there's got to be something wrong here. And they said, you must have a leak. And she goes, look, I could have a small leak in my kitchen, and I wouldn't be billed $32,000 for the month. And I don't have any water coming from anywhere. So they said, well, we'll have to send somebody out and check it out. So I'm just wondering if Mark Scirocco got chauffeured out to the house so he could check the water meter and see why this lady was billed $32,000. Because if you're billed, you have to pay unless they find a problem. So not finding a problem.
Well, if that was for the year 2017, just to give you an idea. Nearly one half of 1 trillion gallons is lost. So if you have any kind of environmental bone in your body, which most of us do, you sit back and you're thinking, wow, where could all that water go? And how much could we be? And as I said, that's nearly $1 million of unaccounted water sales. So if you're an internal audit, you're thinking, wow, this is from an environmental perspective, bad news. We're pumping into the ground probably close to a half a trillion gallons of water. Half a trillion. I have a pool in my backyard, and there's a lot of water in that pool.
That's right.
But I'll do the calculations if you'd like to figure out how many swimming pools would have to be filled up within the city. But I understand this is a problem for most cities, right?
Oh, sure.
That they use it for a fire hydrant. They may use it for if there's a fire in town, they obviously use a lot of gallons of water.
Oh, sure, they
put a fire out and whatever.
But watering the plants.
You just don't do anything about it. Like, it's easy to say, well, we might use it here, or maybe we use it there, or whatever. But the point is, like, come on, people.
Well,
after 8 years, you haven't done an internal audit to say that we could do better. Think about if we could save 10% of that $836,000.
Right. That's somebody's salary.
Of course. And it's as I said, environmentally, this is childish. Yeah. Not to say this is not just 50 cents here and $10 there. We're talking nearly $1 million. A million. And Rick, this is but most importantly, it's for me, it's like, name one company that would produce anything. We'll pick on Saratoga Water. They produce...
And that's bottling, not city water.
Right,
that's
right.
Bottling water.
Yeah. So say they produce 100 bottles of water, put on the back of the truck, drive down the street, 31 of those bottles fall out. And they have no idea where they are. They can't go back and pick them up. Year after year after year, do you think Saratoga Bottled Water would be in business?
No.
If they had to absorb a 31% loss right from the bottom line? 31%. As an environmentalist, I find it appalling that we somehow waste that kind of water. But remember, that water doesn't come for free. We have a water manufacturing facility, the water plant,
right,
that takes water from the ground, treats it, makes it available for drinking water. And so it's a finished product that we're losing. 31% in the year 2017.
Right.
31%. I don't know any business that do it other than the fact that, this is funded by the taxpayer. Nobody's really paying attention. Well, I'm telling Mrs. Madigan, you need to pay attention to this thing. You're losing a lot of water, and you're throwing away a lot of money. And yes, you're right. There could be some very reasonable explanations to what it is, but why not find out what it is?
Well, what that goes to show is lack of transparency, mm-hmm. which I'll bring up another example in a minute. But, anybody would be happy about this. Saratogians haven't had a tax increase in 8 years.
How many in 30 years?
30 years?
Ask yourself, how many tax increases have we had in 30 years?
No,
I've been here 25.
Probably one.
One.
Okay.
So to well, you know, line, and that is just status quo.
Well, expenses grow every year. We had a slush fund of I don't know how many millions of dollars. It's anywhere between 6 and 9 million. That's mm-hmm. now spent down to zero.
No, it's at 1.2.
1.2, and that's to cover what tax increases should have covered.
Right.
We have depleted our green space fund, Ms. Madigan has done nothing to fund that again, so the city can be in a position to purchase property like we did at the acreage down on West Ave, and so without that funded, we don't have money trying to keep taxes down to get reelected. When they're, like I say, it's a beautiful thing when you don't have your taxes increased, but I don't think 0.5% or 1% every couple of years
sure.
will mean a lot.
But Rick,
to the city of
Saratoga. We are hemorrhaging money because we're not transparent. Like I just said, this $800,000 worth of water loss. What's that number over 10 years? Just under Scirocco's camp there. So I know we've never done it under
right.
Madigan's reign. And we haven't done it under Scirocco's reign. So here, what are we doing to figure out that now $8 million $8 million over Scirocco's 10 years in office. We've done nothing to figure out where that is. Again, there's probably some very good logical answers to this, but you can't prove any of it.
But not only that.
Like, we are producing product that we're losing to the tune of $800,000 a year.
But, Pat, not only that, we can't, you know, citizens should be aware of this. Transparency. And it's just a matter of just letting us know what's going on. We'll take this call. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Rick. It's Uncle Jack.
How you doing?
Hi. I'm good. I've been listening to your program right from the start.
Okay.
And you're talking an awful lot about water. I think we ought to get into more general things. Did I ever talk to you about my idea of
yes.
You're talking about learning curve.
Right.
I have an edge on the learning curve. I'm 88 years old, and I've been learning all that time.
Well, good. That's great. Well, we'll get into generals and things. You know, right now we've got a lot to fit in here. But thanks for calling.
You don't want to hear?
If you keep it short, go ahead. We've got a lot to cover here.
Oh, turn on the noise.
Yeah, okay.
Turn the radio down.
I won't interfere, but believe me, you ought to take a broad view.
Oh, so, we know.
It's a lot cheaper to live down here in Florida than it is in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, you better believe it.
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
I love you guys.
Love you too. Take care.
Okay.
All right. My rationale here to talk about was I want to bring up housing for a minute, if we can. There was a piece in a Facebook site called Saratogians for Sustainable Housing,
right?
Which is a Dave Morris Facebook page, and he wrote an article the other night that Ms. Madigan talks about her affordable housing, and she said, "I can't say this strongly enough." That development is not the problem here and has never been. They can't build affordable housing here because of zoning, which is what she should be focused on. And the developers pay the same insane costs as everyone else. He says, we have had many conversations on housing since she's been in office, and she truly understands the problem and what we need to do moving forward. And she's not putting uniformed lies out there. Well,
they've accomplished nothing. That's,
I know.
That's,
well, that's the problem.
It's really not, to be honest with you, and I know Dave is a big fan of Michelle's, and I would expect nothing less. And he's a passionate guy when it comes to housing.
Oh, he is. And he does have a lot of
good things. That there's just so much misinformation out there. When you look at what's going on, the zoning doesn't say you're not allowed to put there's just no zoning law in the state that says you're not allowed to put affordable housing in this area.
Right.
That's not what zoning laws do. But what's happened here, and Dave makes a somewhat of a good point, the cost of property in this town is so high that if you own the piece of property, are you going to put something with a small rate of return on it, or are you going to put something with a big rate of return on it? And most people, not everybody, but most people will put something that's going to return a high rate of profit back to them. And that puts the affordable housing component really at risk.
Oh, you're
so
right.
It really is left to the developers. The city council has done nothing to produce affordable housing. You know, I know Joanne Yepsen had worked with a fellow that owned the Saratoga Diner in hopes that he would do something. And I guess there's plans on, you know, in progress to do that. But it comes with a cost, whether it's taxpayer, you know, waiving taxes in lieu of for that particular property so that it can get it off the ground. I mean, it's done even for regular buildings, but the point is that there really isn't, as many things with this form of government, there really is nothing being done. Right. We can tout a solar park. That was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago. What have we done lately? Is there a parking garage going up? No, not yet.
And we're going to need one because we're going to refer to an article in the paper. But what I wanted to say was when he said that developers are not the problem, and you just made the point where he's right. But Ms. Madigan, as you said, has not done anything in a while about affordable housing. However, to her campaign fund, she has no less than 15 builders and contractors that donated money to her fund. She's accepted money from an out-of-town PAC. She's got donations from the city attorney. She's got donations from Ruin Real Estate Agency, which is probably one of the bigger real estate agencies in Saratoga. She's gotten donations from two attorneys' firms outside the city that represent the city in large lawsuits where the city attorney can't handle it. Now, right there's a clear conflict of interest because who's she going to vote for when it comes time to appoint outside attorneys?
Oh, of course. She's got one of her lead, you know, she's had a lot of challenges with her finance. There's currently an effort in place to try to bring some of that to the ethics board because there's, you know, Matt Jones, who's a nice guy. He's a good guy.
Oh, I like Matt.
Here. Matt and I have been friends for a long time. But he appears in front of the city council a lot more than any other attorney, whether he's representing the hospital, which is obviously a big deal right now. He's representing the city center. He's representing even small business owners over on Nelson Avenue. But we're seeing a trend where this large amount of money is being donated. And here are people that are represent to city council members, and they're representing their clients in front of city council. It is unethical. It is a challenge for anybody to remain neutral. I mean, Matt's event, I think, in March, you know, he donated $1,000 worth of in-kind donations, and then Michelle Madigan turned around and wrote him a check for $4,500 or in that neighborhood.
And he had a party at his house for.
For a house party. And, I, you know, I like to have people over to the house, but, you know, spend $4,000 to make it a fundraiser instead. I don't know what it is, but it certainly stinks to high heavens.
Well, sure.
And, Matt Jones should either... Well, he's not going to step away from his client, but Michelle Madigan should do the right thing and recuse herself every time that Matt Jones or one of his clients
and be transparent about what the check is. I just want people to know you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio, and the phone number in the studio is 518-580-5783. That's 518-580-5783. We're talking about affordable housing. Now, of course, the whole council passed this because all the city land use boards passed it in late 2018. Well, on a three-quarter parcel, a three-quarter acre parcel on Broadway in between the Stadium Cafe and Druthers, demolition of an existing built 22,000 square foot building is happened, and a new project is being built. And approximately a mixed-use building of 10,000 square feet of retail and commercial space on the first floor. And it's going to be a five-story building. And 69 multifamily residential units on the upper levels. Now, what do you think a unit on Broadway is going to cost? You think it'll be affordable housing for the tourist people that work in the industry, tourist industry in Saratoga, are going to be able to afford?
Probably not.
And the builder is a donor to Michelle Madigan's campaign, no less.
Yeah.
So this whole thing irritates you to the point where when people understand this and you tell them this, they get very upset.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're talking about 69 multifamily residential units. Where are they going to park, Pat? Because there's no place to put a parking lot on a three-quarter acre
property.
Well,
this is all helicopter pilots, where they're going to land their helicopter on the roof. Because you're right. Broadway's chock full. Side streets are chock full.
Parking lots are, you can't find a parking space a lot of times. I mean, we are a tourist city. Yeah. We got to realize that. And it's good. We make a lot of money off of tourists.
Yeah, but you know, here's speaking of the parking aspect, which will affect that particular building and others like it. You know, we're hearing this conversation about putting the parking garage downtown for the city center. Well, we all know, I've been on four city parking commissions, and I've heard every single time that when you put a pay-for-parking garage up, you must accompany with the street parking with meters, because people will just go park on the meters instead of going into the garage. Well, whatever.
Or park on the street.
Where is that conversation being had right now? You know, let's infill downtown, let's not require parking on premise, all that kind of stuff, which is what the zoning laws do say.
Right.
Where are we disclosing to the public that if we were to build that parking structure over that would serve the city center, which would take up two of the three city lots that the city owns there to the tune of getting nothing in return.
Right.
But most importantly is, where's city council telling us, or maybe they have, I just haven't heard it, but I don't think I've missed it, is that there will be no paid for parking on the street. Because you know what? I don't think that's true. I really think, aside from getting this thing, we're going to start seeing meters on the streets. And
well,
city.
she's already talking about that.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's talking about paid parking.
I missed that.
Why not? And like you say, it's probably something we should have downtown. I mean, you park downtown to get to the stores,
right,
and you have elderly people have to park one or two blocks away that want to shop, and they can't do it. In the wintertime, you can't get out of your passenger side door because the snow's not being taken away like it used to
be. That's an essential thing, Rick, that should be worked on. This is the normal blocking and tackling of everyday city life, and we don't see any action. We hear a lot of words, but we see no action.
Right.
No parking garage, is there parking meters? Is there not parking meters? They won't even stripe the streets to quantify how many parking spots they have.
And why can't they go up on the parking garage? That was the original intent. Go up. Yep. But they don't talk about it. They're not even in the plan to do that. And that's why they built that parking lot on Woodlawn Avenue with the intention of going up if they needed more parking spots. I mean, you never can have enough parking spots in Saratoga Springs, let's face it.
But answer me this question. What have we accomplished in the last 2 years? What have we accomplished?
Not much.
We'll say, didn't our city hall, not burn down, but certainly damaged greatly, and, you know, we've got to fix that. Well, we just announced a general, it's been down almost a year. We just selected the vendors who are going to repair it. We just identified them. We're in the middle of June. And yes, you're not going to see it back there by August. Maybe under some amazing situation, you're going to see that back. But the problem is that we're not working inside City Hall, but we should be working elsewhere. You know, we've seen no improvement in the parking side. It's just amazing how a city like this can be so stagnant for so long with so little accomplished, yet we hear, aren't we the greatest?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, here we are losing $800,000 in our water. Just the water rates, we're losing $800,000. There's, I can't tell you the number of dollars that are unclaimed. Mrs. Madigan's claiming the $1.2 million surplus. You know, like the band should get out and play for this. $1.2 million. We probably should have north of $10 million.
Well, she's been spending it down to keep taxes from going up.
Because it's all a political tool.
She knows that'll be an argument she'll have to have with the citizens on why you have to raise taxes. I mean, like, they can't figure out that things go up. You pay the same for a pound of hamburger as you did 10 years ago?
Well, here's the funny thing. You know, we're claiming that we're so proud of that $1.2 million surplus. Years ago, it was much higher than that, of course. We've had one tough year in the last 15 because of the VLT revenues surprising us mid-year that it came out. But nonetheless, I read recently we have $2.4 million worth of taxes not paid to the city, some dating back as far as 2009. So I went online, and I checked it, and that's correct. Hmm. Correct. So we have a brag about solution that we have a surplus of $1.2 million. There's $2.4 million worth of taxes that have yet to be collected by Michelle Madigan's team. Her response is, it's too expensive to collect those taxes. Too expensive to collect taxes?
Yeah.
You know, we collect 95% of the taxes. Well, guess what? Next year, I'd like to be part of that 5% that doesn't have to pay their taxes. We have two successful businesses, which, quite frankly, are well-known businesses in this community, that aren't paying their taxes multiple years, to the tune of just these two gentlemen owe the city over $2 million in taxes. Or $200,000, I'm sorry, get my numbers, $200,000 worth of back taxes. Now, one of these guys we buy cars from for the city, still owes us $125,000, but we're buying cars from him there. Mm-hmm. This same gentleman has an exclusive towing contract in the city, still doing that, despite the fact that he's one of the worst violators of tax collection. But we don't do anything. And Michelle's like, we don't want to put somebody out on the street. I think that's not a problem with this guy, because I don't even think he owns 9 properties in Saratoga Springs, doesn't live on any one of them, has paid no taxes for a long time, and yet we award him a towing contract, we buy vehicles from him, and he's allowed to just skate on taxes? That is malarkey.
It is.
And to think, well, it's too expensive to go collect. Well, then don't buy any contract, or don't buy any cars from him. Don't award him the towing contract for the city till he pays all his back taxes.
Well, you know, another transparency issue is, do you know how much it's going to cost city taxpayers of Saratoga for City Hall renovations due to water damage in a fire? Do we know how much?
Well, I was scolded because I said it's going to be $15 million, and Mrs. Madigan goes that I know nothing about this, so how could I say $15 million? I will tell you that we'll cross now $20 million because we now have almost 2 years without the use of the rec center, and probably yet another year, because we can't guarantee when we're going to be out of there.
Right.
We've lost all of that income. Now, remember, we also pay each year on the debt service for that building. That, too, has got to be factored in here, that we're paying money to – yes, we're using the building, that's for sure, but by the same token, we relied on that debt service to be paid by the use of the building, and it's not going to be used. The parents of kids that use that building or were going to use that building are furious. I hope they remember that on Tuesday.
Yep.
Because she's – not just her, but this government has put all of that on hold because – and to be almost a year before you select the contractors – we've had five change orders just on the asbestos removal.
It's amazing. But see, that goes to show a lack of transparency by our leaders. One of the things that the caller, who I know very well, he's my uncle, had called about is evolving in your learning. He was a very well-known and successful architect in the Syracuse area. And I think he even helped design the Saratoga High School when that was being built. But, you know, it seems like our politicians don't evolve. They don't learn from the past. And I've always said, and when we were going for charter change, we are a reactive form of government, not a proactive. And one of the things that a national study found out that Saratoga County ranks Saratoga County, who's known for luxury and money, is the third income disparity county in New York State, and it's number 23, I think, in the country. And as far as the study goes, they said that we have, I'm trying to find the exact number here, and I can't find it right now, but we have the largest, we have 122 of the state's total of 723 trailer parks, more than any other county. And it says trailer parks are Saratoga's affordable housing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty sad when that's a national study that comes out. My daughters live in mobile homes. I am not in any way disparaging,
of course,
mobile home parks. Believe me, there's nothing wrong with them. But when you consider that we have the largest share. And it was funny. The other day I saw a house that was sold on Franklin Street. Ordinary house.
Yep.
All right. Franklin Street's about, what, 2 blocks from Saratoga, 3 blocks from Broadway, I mean.
Yep.
The house sold for $999,999. So it was a dollar short of $1 million. Mm-hmm. Now, you get what you want, what you can get for selling a house, but $1 million home that is in a residential neighborhood that probably... I don't know. I mean, I know the people that own the house are very good people. I mean, great people. And unless their house is on historical federal list and gets money every year, I don't think it's worth $1 million. But you can't. What is going on in Saratoga?
And we talk again, about it's the city government is doing a lot of patting themselves on the back and have nothing accomplished. And you're right. You know, are housing prices going through the roof here? Yes, of course they are. Are we developing every single spot we have? Yes, we are. Is that the right thing to do? I would say no.
No.
But other people may say yes, and that's their opinion. That's fine. However, what are we doing? When I came to town, I was born in Hadley, so I wasn't that far away. But
right.
When I officially moved into my house now, 25, 6 years ago, whatever, the biggest challenge that the politicians were talking about is truck traffic.
Correct.
Right. Did we solve that problem?
No.
Did we? And then parking. Another problem. Did we solve that problem?
No.
No. Are we solving any problems? What are the biggest problems we're solving right now? Is it homelessness? Are we solving that problem?
No, because that's a growing problem.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at what's happening now. Now we've got neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood. Every time we try to move code blue into a particular neighborhood, and I think, I hate to say this, I think rightfully so, the people in that neighborhood are upset, and it's a ticking time bomb before the people who don't live in that neighborhood say, it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Well, how about if we move it to your neighborhood? I wholeheartedly believe that we need to provide a solution. But the city government is numb to this.
Right. Well, I think the solution came without any of the city's help. And it came from a church.
Sure.
The Presbyterian Church in Saratoga Springs has a lot of property.
But before that, the Soul Saving Station down on the corner of Caroline and Henry did it for years.
Oh, yeah. And there you could only put probably 30 people in there. And it got up to where there were probably 100 or more last year. And, you know, there's been various places that it's tried to host that. But the Presbyterian Church has stepped forward and has donated one of the buildings on their property and have gotten neighborhood approval. They went to there's a certain area that you have to go.
But they got city approval.
They got city approval, but one of the... trustees told me they went in the neighborhoods and people were okay with that.
That church, it does a remarkable job for that
community
population.
Service.
You talk about the soup kitchen. They've been there serving lunches
for years,
decades.
Yeah.
It's a great, great church.
Well, this place you can hold, you'll be able to hold, I mean, hundreds of people for Code Blue. And they... you know, it's just amazing that, you know, the private sector does come through because the gentleman that owns Finger Paints wanted to donate over $1 million for the construction of units. What street
Walworth.
Is that? And Walworth Street. And the neighbors didn't want it.
Yeah.
Sued, won in court.
Yeah. But I understand that. Where is the city doing anything about it? Where is the people that we elect to take action? Where the heck are they? They're nowhere to be found. Now there's this mysterious piece that Madigan and Kelly now have this mysterious location. Now, again, tell us about it. What is this, some kind of a secret CIA place? I'm not quite sure. But you're sitting there going, what have these people done? They pit neighborhood against neighborhood against neighborhood because... I understand why someone would want to help, but I also understand why people are saying, not in my backyard.
Well, you know, one of the fastest growing areas.
The city should be on this.
Well, they should.
And they should have been on it 10 years ago.
Just like you said with the truck traffic. And, you know, you don't go anywhere. And I'll tell you something else. Kendall Hicks and Dylan Moran are talking about this. The fastest growing area in Saratoga is the east side.
Yeah.
How long have they been talking about putting a EMS station and a fire station over on the east side when these people are begging the city? Now, I know response time.
Let me ask you this question. If I told you one of those tax violators has 10 building lots on the east side of Saratoga Springs within, as I said, right in the heart of this eastern plateau, right in the heart of it. So instead of saying to them, well, we're going to take that land from you because you're not paying taxes on it, we're going to put an EMS station on it. Oh, God, we wouldn't do that because, as Madigan would point out, it's too expensive to do that.
Yeah.
In REM, I understand the process. It's a 3-year process. We've got this guy's dated back to 2009. I'm not great in math, but I know that that's more than 3 years.
Well,
so we've done nothing to collect taxes. We're starving for a location to defend our people against fire and medical problems, and we can't find land out there. But yet we've got a guy who owns a lot of land and he doesn't pay taxes on it. So what do we do? We don't do anything. That's the problem, Rick. Is that we're stuck in neutral.
Well, that costs
every 2 years when these guys run for office. Oh, I do this and I do that. Really? Prove it.
Yeah. What do you,
Michelle Madigan? Be an internal audit structure. Save $800,000 for that, or God knows how many millions of gallons of water that we're losing. Do something about parking. We talk about it. It goes year after year after year, and there's nothing done about it.
Well, now she wants to hire a person. Now, you know they're going to be getting, they already have a computer technician, which they should. I mean, everything's on computer. A social media person, separate job. So what's it going to pay? Probably $40,000, $50,000 plus benefits. So you get up to probably $100,000 a year. Why can't the computer person do it?
Here we go, Rick. We just hired a PR person to the tune of like $60,000 plus benefits, which is now turns out to be a $100,000 a year job that the city taxpayers pay for.
Right.
And they're basically, I'm getting tired of seeing Skip Scirocco and next to some statue in Saratoga. I mean, all they do now is promote themselves through this PR person. Now we're going to go somebody to run the Facebook page and become sophisticated, which I think we should. But if I've heard it once, I've heard it 60 times coming from the lips of Commissioner Scirocco. I don't have enough people to take care of the problem. I don't have enough men. You know, since McTighe's left 10 years ago, which he never points out, I'm struggling because I don't have enough men to do the job, to work on it. He gives back over $1 million every year to Madigan's budget.
Right.
Claims that he doesn't have enough people. We're hiring non-essential workers, but the essential work can't get done because Skip's like, I don't have people.
And he could hire more people. I mean,
it's
in
just
a heartbeat.
A charade. These guys, it's nothing but a charade.
And I'll tell you something else, Pat. The people that work in City Hall, like this PR guy, I mean, City Hall workers are great.
They
workers.
Deal with all the baloney. That's
but the PR person should not advocate for a politician
City Hall. We just hired him just before election season.
Well, here's another thing.
We haven't straightened out the payroll system. I mean, Michelle's been there 8 years. We've always talked about straightening out the payroll system and save hundreds of thousands of dollars, not only in manpower hours, but just dollars of savings of the process. What have we gotten done? Nothing.
I know.
Nothing.
Zip.
You know, name me a company with 400 employees that pays its employees every week by check, and then give them 15 minutes to go cash their check.
On Fridays.
Talk about dark ages.
Right.
We can talk, I did a solar park, and we're going to save the city a lot of money. Okay, great. That's what you should be doing. Not like, let's give you a blue ribbon because you've accomplished something.
Right.
Those are the things our elected officials should be doing every day.
Well, here goes back to the caller's thing. The learning curve is ongoing. Now, direct deposit is cheaper than paying by check and giving every employee 15 minutes to go cash their check.
It's not just Michelle Madigan's fault. It's all of the commissioners who are involved in negotiating contracts.
Oh, exactly.
To put in a contract in this day and age that you'd get that is primitive. It is primitive. The hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, we keep going, oh, we got $1.2 million. It should be 10. And oh, by the way, Wilton, New York, our cozy little neighbor to the north, guess how much their surplus is? $10
million. $10
million. Ours is $1.2 and we've got the sales tax revenue of a giant beast. And we can't even come up with $10 million in surplus. We turn money back. We don't address issues like this horrific amount of water loss every year after every year. It's constant. Well, and then you look, at the our employee base. We have, I can't tell you the number of legal issues we have with our employee base that is costing us thousands of dollars. But we don't want to talk about that because guess what? We can't show you that because it's always an excuse. We can't show you that because it's a personnel record. Oh, okay, fine, I get that. Yeah. But just give me a number. Right. Oh, we can't tell you that because it's about human resources.
Right.
I'm not asking for the name. I'm not asking for the violation. I'm just asking how much are we spending on lawsuits for the city?
Right.
And they just refuse to tell you. And again, transparency. This form of government, which is called the commission form of government, is supposed to solve problems in the time of crisis. Let's talk about City Hall being a crisis, the situation there. It's been a year. And we still haven't got anything done.
Well, Pat, we know from our time in changing the form of government, trying to, they lost by 10 votes with over 9,000 cast, that the commission form of government doesn't solve anything. And that's why there's only about 26 left in the whole country. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, I mean, there is one large city that's having problems now in Portland. I mean, they're having major problems. But most of them are towns and villages that, you know, I mean, the commission form probably works for them. But when you get into cities with, I mean, almost every city now has either a mayor, strong mayor, or you have a city manager, and each of them have councils, which is what we need here to separate the two powers that they have, the legislative from the administrative, because they create their own budgets, and then they pass the budget.
And never audit their budget.
And never audit their budget.
No, it's egregious, those violations of water. It's some of these things that to stand there and say, we have never affected truck traffic. We have never done this and never done that. It's amazing how we're so proud of ourselves when we have a small success and sing from the highest mountain on that. Yet, when there are things, the basic blocking and tackling of good government, they just don't do. Why? I don't know why, but it's time to get rid of these people. It's time to take Michelle Madigan and send her home and let her do her marvelous work at home, because it's not being done in City Hall. And other candidates that we should all year between now and November ask, what have you accomplished? Tell me what you've accomplished. And when you can tell me what you've accomplished, I'm really going to be proud of you. But I don't think there's a whole lot of accomplishments to be talked about.
No, there isn't.
We just are a whole lot of back patters, but we don't have a lot done. Affordable housing, services to the seniors, you know, paving the right streets, not the streets that are politically correct.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we got to get Polka Magic on in a minute, but where the new Beaver Pond development is over on Geyser, they're black. Now, that was only put in 5-6 years ago.
Sure.
They're blacktopping the roads in one of the new developments that was newly blacktopped 4 or 5 years ago. And that's where the fellow with the gun the other day was being held up because the roller was back and forth, and he got out with his gun, which was probably about a block away from a grade school. Guys are waving his gun, took off in the woods. They, instead of having a lockdown in the grade school, they brought school buses in to take the children out, put them on school buses. I thought you had to have a lockdown when that happened. But anyway, they caught the guy, the gun was stolen, and I don't know if the car was stolen, but here we got a lunatic running around. But the key is that they're repaving this brand new development. Why? Because it's election year.
Yeah.
Now, there's so many
by the lake, the same thing. There are streets that were paved, you know, less than 10 years ago, and we're repaving them when there's streets that are full of potholes that we're not touching. And it goes back to, where do people vote? And he's working in districts that people vote. So, oh, I'm going to remember that my street got paved, so I vote for that guy? Come on. Come on.
Yep.
We can do better.
All right. I'm going to try and get Polka Magic up. And so right now we're going to say have a great weekend. And you'll be listening to a little bit of music until I can figure out they removed my my bookmark page here, so I can't get it up as fast as I normally do. So thanks for being with us. Next Saturday we have Wendy Libertor, who is a the news reporter for the Saratoga County area, Times Union reporter, and she's been on before. She's great, and we can't wait for that. The week after that, Matt Veach will be on. It will not be a political show. Matt is going to talk about Saratoga history. As everybody knows, Matt is a great historian for the city of Saratoga, as his family dates back six or seven generations. So we're looking forward to that. So you have a great week, and enjoy the next 4 or 5 days. We're supposed to have great weather, and we'll be here next Saturday. Take care.